Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your grace to us, Lord. For in many ways, Lord, we have seen and experienced your goodness in our lives, in our communities, in this place where we live, Lord, in our nation. You have, Lord, led us in many ways, Lord, continually. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that today we have the freedom and the strength to be here, Lord. Because you opened our minds and our eyes, Lord, to your truth, and you gave us the ability, Lord, to know you. And Lord, as we are here this morning, Lord, we look at the situations around us and circumstances, Lord, and there is change. There is unrest around us, Lord. There are challenges and troubles, Lord, that make us wonder what's going on. And Lord, we come to you and we ask you, Lord, that as we worship you and read your word, Lord, and learn from your message, that in our hearts will rise, Lord, an understanding of your will, an understanding of your purpose, a commitment in us, Lord, to do what you're calling us, a faith, Lord, that is standing firm in the midst of all opposition, Lord, and that we would continue, Lord, to seek for your kingdom in the midst of your people. Your kingdom to be established. Your will to be done, Lord. And the power of your strength, Lord, to direct us continually. Lord, this morning we pray for this nation, Lord. We pray for our government. We pray, Lord, for the government that is in transition, Lord, and for everything that is going on, Lord, in this America, this nation, Lord. Lord, guide and direct the church to do the right thing in the midst of everything that is going on. Allow your Christians, your people, your servants, Lord, to stand firm with faith, Lord, knowing that you are leading us in every way. And Lord, we pray for our children, that they will know and understand who you are, your provision, your strength, Lord, our convictions, Lord, and that we will pass to them, Lord, that understanding of your grace and your will and your commandments. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray and thank you this morning for everything you're doing in our midst. And Lord, guide us through this time. Bring conviction from the power of your Holy Spirit. Guide my words, Lord, in your mighty name, and allow us to see your grace and your wonder this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. If you don't have a Bible, we have our Bibles back in our pews. You're welcome to use one of them. If you do have your Bible or your device, I'm going to invite you to go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 26 and 27 this morning. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. How many of you know that there is a lot going on around us today? Most of the time, but there is a lot going on, and sometimes it's challenging, you know, when as a pastor, as a teacher, to come to the pulpit on to church on Sunday and say, Lord, what is your will for us this weekend? As you know, we started the year by just confirming that we're going to continue in the book of Mark, going through the Gospel of Mark, and then today happens to be Sanctity of Life Sunday, which we usually make a message or speak about it in regard to what's going on with these matters. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the fear of the Lord. I've been dwelling in these verses for maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5 weeks in my own personal walk with the Lord. And as I've been just looking at the Word of God and the purpose of God for my life, this is a verse that actually I think brings us to see that as we fear God, regardless of the circumstances that are going around us, we are going to be strong. It says here in verse 26, in the fear of the Lord, one has a strong confidence. When we fear God, we are confident, or we're trusting actually. And his children will have a refuge. In other versions, the children will have hope. They have direction in the future because someone fears the Lord. And then in verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may be turned away from the snares of death. So let me read it again and just have you focus on it for a minute here. In the fear of the Lord, one has a strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. So this is talking about the fear of the Lord and the strength that comes from God. Not only the strength, but the hope that we receive from God when we fear Him. And also the ability that we have to connect to the life of God, abundant life, everlasting life. And therefore, in the end, we are protected by the snares of death. And so we see four blessings in these two chapters that come to Christians, or to anyone for that matter, that is willing to fear the Lord in his life. And when I was thinking how to start this, you know, with everything that is going on and the challenges that I have and the challenges that we have as a nation and as a community, also as the church in the midst of the times that we live, I was thinking, Lord, it is very important for us as Christians to have a relationship with you and to be in communion with you continually in your presence, because when we do that, the Lord brings us strength to be confident regardless of the circumstances that we are living. And as we learn and grow in the fear of God, in the fear of the Lord, according to this promise here in Proverbs chapter 14, and in many other places in the Bible, our confidence grows. And if we lack that fear of God, and we don't trust Him as He wants us to do, then we will be actually fearful to the circumstances and challenges that are going on around us. And as I said in the beginning, there are many challenges going on around us. Amen. And we got to pay attention to those things. And in the midst of the challenges and trials and tribulations and circumstances, whatever is going on, when we fear God, we will be confident of Him. And that's what we want. Amen? You want to be confident in the Lord and strong in His confidence? You know, Adam and Eve, when we look at the Bible and the history of mankind, were protected and they were given everything by God in His mercy. But as they sinned and they went after that fruit that they shouldn't eat, right immediately after, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves lion clothes to cover themselves because they were afraid. All of a sudden, they were full of shame and they were in a position in which they weren't before. They didn't act in the fear of the Lord. So now sin was controlling them and they lost confidence in what was going on around them, because now they're not having the right healthy fear of God, but actually they are afraid of the circumstances in which they are because of their sin. So they are looking for their own personal protection, and in their disobedience, they didn't act in God's fear, so now they're afraid. They're full of shame. They're insecure. And one thing that is evident in the story of Adam and Eve is that they're looking for their own protection in their own ways and in their own strength. And that's why we need to realize the times in which we live and the circumstances that are going on around us, we need to see the necessity to be confident in the Lord with everything that goes on. I mean, from weekend to weekend, from Sunday to Sunday, from month to month, from year to year, everything is changing around us. The convictions, the decisions, the focus of our country, the reasons why we need to be praying for. Seems like it's just we are being bombarded by all kinds of things, and we need to be confident. And the only way to be confident is in the Lord. We live in the midst of a society that is searching for something to give them strong confidence. Just look around for a minute in your personal walk. There is no confidence. We see the groups of people and societies in loss of confidence in such a way that, for instance, youth are losing their identity. I mean, girls and boys don't know if they are male or female. And this idea of not knowing who we are from an early age is changing education and parenting. The store, society, everything around us is changing because of the insecurity that we are in, the lack of confidence. It doesn't matter where you are, and especially here in Grand County, you don't have to spend that much time with people to realize that a lot of young people, and I mean the workforce, is spending a lot of time in drugs, addicted to drugs, because they're legal, they're okay. That's something that we do in this nation. And you know what?
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I have some pains and some ailments that I have to try these things. So people is really looking for confidence. They're looking for purpose in their lives. And there's a lot of deception, I mean, with the news and information and what people believe and things. So we see this society that expects complete stability from everything around them. For example, the government, the world government. If the government will only do the right thing and act in the right way and promote the right rules and laws and finances, we would be okay. But you know, the government does not have confidence for us. Are you aware of that? I keep looking at this, and you know, a lot of people in America believe that maybe if we have enough money, if the economy continues to go in the right way, we would be okay. We'll have success, and everything is going to be fine. If we educate children and give them more diplomas and ability to know more of history and culture and technology and all that, they are going to be fine. But you know, the reality is that there is lots of loss of confidence in our world. And the reason is there is no fear of God. Therefore, the fiber of our society in regard to confidence is completely lost. And as I was thinking through this, you know, one passage stand out to me in chapter 20 of the book of Genesis, and I want to invite you over there. Genesis chapter 20. And because without the fear of the Lord in a nation or in a community or in a family or perhaps in a church, we will live in nothing more than calamity. And then eventually we'll end up in death. And look at this story here in Genesis chapter 20. We're going to go through the Bible today to many places. Most of the scriptures are in your notes. If you have a pen, I commend you to write some of these scriptures. If you don't, that's okay. You can listen to the message later if you want to. But I want to read this passage first here. And the Bible says that Abraham lived in the promised land. And there were a couple of times that he left the promised land. The first one, he went to Egypt because there was a famine. In this occasion, the Bible doesn't tell us why Abraham journeyed through the territory of Negev, and then from there he went to Gerar. And in Gerar there was a king whose name was Abimelech. And when Abraham went to that land, he told his wife, "Tell everybody that you're my sister so that I may live." And she did that. So when they went to that land, Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. He was planning to make her his wife. And the Bible says that one night the Lord came and told Abimelech, "You are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a married woman." And so Abimelech, right away he said, "Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know. She told me that Abraham was her brother. And he said that she was his sister." So God says, "Yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. But now return the man's wife to him because he's a prophet, and have him pray for you so that it may go well in your life." So then Abimelech went to Abraham in verse 10, and he said to him, "What did you see that you did this thing?" And Abraham said, "I did it because I thought, there is no fear of God at all in this place. And they will kill me because of my wife." So I look at the story and the importance of fear of God in society, in our families, in our churches, in people. And this godly man, Abraham, who's having a relationship with God, he comes to this place for whatever reason, and he perceives that there is a lack of fear of God in this place. So what does he do? He lies. And he tells his wife to lie. So he had no confidence in God himself. He sees a society that is losing the fear of God or not have the fear of God. But then he himself does the same thing. And he thinks that because he is afraid of the circumstances and these people fear, they don't fear the Lord, maybe I have to provide my own protection and my own convenience. So without fear of the Lord, we're not going to have strong confidence. And that confidence comes really from a real fear of God. Without the fear of the Lord, nations fail to do what is right. How many of you know that? That if there is no fear of God in a nation, nations fail to do what is right. This nation was founded on the fear of God in many ways. The church needs to have a healthy fear of God continually. In their studies, in their Bible studies, in their Sunday morning teachings, in the songs that they worship the Lord with. We need to promote the fear of the Lord. I was listening to Glenn on Sunday, and Glenn talked about Glenn Traynor, who shared last week, and he talked about not fearing. And how much the Bible commands us not to fear men and not to fear the circumstances. And really, as I went into the hunt of those verses throughout the week, just listening to what he shared, I also realized that not only there are hundreds of Bible verses that speak of not fearing men and circumstances, but actually there are hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Bible that speak of fearing God. When we fear God, confidence grows in us. That's what we are studying here this morning. And without the fear of the Lord, we seek for our own protection as Abraham did. Our own convenience. And we do what we are pleased because we are justified that everybody is doing their own thing. But we shouldn't be like Abraham was in the midst of that community. Amen? Let me tell you what I'm heading with this. The church does not have an excuse to say, well, the world is going from bad to worse, so therefore I can do whatever I want. Right? We need to promote the knowledge and the obedience of the gospel and the truth of Christ. And we need to promote the fear of God, especially in the midst of a society that is losing the fear of God. There's a lot of things going on here in the world. And as I said, thinking about today and sanctity of life and the things that are going on around us, politically speaking, and the unrest really that is, in the media and everything that is going on, I tell Lord, I'm going to speak of this, and I tell Lord, how is this applicable in our lives? To learn your fear and to understand your ways in such a way that we be the difference in the place where we are. I'm going to actually go back to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26 and 27, and I'm going to use those four blessings that we have with the fear of God. Because there is so much of scriptures, so many of them that speak of the fear of God. And I'm going to try to focus in these four areas. But I'm going to start actually backwards a little bit from the end of verse 27. Because the first thing that we see through the fear of God is that we escape death. The fear of God is essential for us to escape death. And as I said, if we don't fear God, we're in calamity. But heading to death, heading to problems, serious problems. And we got to look at this because there is no hope in our own strength without fear of God. And even as we want to attain the fear of God, this needs to be something that comes from the Lord. You got to realize here this morning, the Bible is clear about this. There is a judgment to come, and according to our sinful condition, we were condemned to death. If you are not a Christian and you have no fear of God, you are condemned to death. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, the end of the matter, or the summary of the whole book in Ecclesiastes, perhaps the whole Bible, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. The concept of the Bible is one day God is going to call all of us and the whole world, the whole humanity, to a judgment. And the only way to be ready for that judgment is to obey God's commandments under the fear of the Lord. But that's impossible, right? Because nobody does what is right in their own strength. In fact, if we look at man's nature, the Bible says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. We deny and refuse the existence of God. We promote that there is no God. That's what is going on. The Bible says in Proverbs, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So if you fear God, you acknowledge that God exists. But for the most part, humanity is going in this idea that God is not real. God does not exist. In fact, in Psalm 36, verse 1, the Bible says, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. Sin is counseling the wicked, and he's telling him, there is no fear of God. He's telling me, the psalmist said, there is no fear of God before his eyes. So the reason why people is rampant in society, following the desires and the pleasures of their flesh, is because there is no fear of God. And so we weren't there. I want to start by mentioning this. According to the gospel, we were called to fear God in light of the judgment to come. But there was no ability in us to fear Him. There is no ability in humankind to fear God in their own strength. There was no fear, and therefore sin entered. And as sin came and dwelt, we were condemned by the righteousness of God. And in that condemnation, we were heading to death. But you know, God has some hope for us through the gospel. When we go to Romans chapter 3, verse 10, actually starting in verse 9, and I want to invite you over there, in the book of Romans, according to the gospel, we see this. When Paul is accusing everyone of being under sin and condemnation of sin, he says, "What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." That is the nature of the heart of men without God. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. Why? Because there is no fear of God before their eyes. The way of the world is a way in which they live without fear. And we were there. None is righteous. In verse 10. No, not one. In the verse 18. There is no fear of God in men. They do not fear God before the eyes, their eyes. So no one, by our own ability, follows and obeys God, for there is no fear of God in us. So when we look at society, stability and confidence and strength and hope is not going to come from the government, is it? It's not going to come from the education of this world, is it? We look at a world that is changing continually, and this is the motivation of the world. This is the motivation of the world. A world that is confused. I mean, look at this for a moment. 1.8 billion died. Million people died in America. In the world, excuse me. Because of COVID. But in America, around 50 million people died of abortion. In the last years. From 1967, whatever. Just look at the mindset. And we're trying to do everything to protect people, these people that is dying, mostly all. But we're not doing anything. The government is not doing anything to protect life. Because they are in the snare of death. Why? Because they have no fear of God. That's what we're reading in Proverbs. Without the fear of the Lord, people will not escape the snare of death. And when we look at this, it's not just the spiritual condemnation that is coming. But he's talking about losing life in many ways because we are choosing what is wrong. Now, when in the midst of perversion and everything, sin and deception that is going on and all this confusion that is taking place, you know, God had to do something in order to bring us to be for Him. This is the power of the gospel, that although we didn't have the fear to obey God or to follow Him, to change according to His commandments, God came in spite of our sin and He said, "I'm going to change him and transform him." Let me tell you something this morning. If you are not a born-again person by the power and transformation of the Holy Spirit, you're living in your sin. And if you're living in your sin, you do not have any fear of God. And you can't. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 39 through 40, he says, "I will give them," this is God, "I will give them one heart and one way." He's talking to the people of Israel and he's saying, "I'm going to make a new covenant with them. And when I make a new covenant with them, I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever." Do you have that heart in your life, in your soul? Is that existent? God is doing a work in the people of Israel. And He's doing a work in His church. And look what it says. For their own good. And the good of their children after them. That's the hope that Proverbs is talking about. When we fear the Lord, not only it goes well with us, but we are able to pass hope to the next generation. And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but we see everything and all together in these verses. And then God says, I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them. How? I will put the fear of me in their hearts. It's not only that. God is saying, I'm going to bless you because I am graceful and I love you. And in my love, I'm going to look away from the sins that you have committed. No, it's not only that. Also, God is saying, but you are going to actually love me and fear me and follow me and want my commandments upon your life because you have been transformed from your heart. And my fear is going to be in you forever, and I'm going to put that fear of me in your heart, inside of your heart. Just this morning as you come to this place, let me ask you one thing. Is that fear of God a reality in your life? I'm a Christian, you might say. I grew up in a Christian home. I've read the Bible throughout my entire life. Why do I have to be afraid of God? Because the Bible says so. Amen? But this is something that we don't talk about in church anymore. We don't want to offend people, you know. We don't want to talk about bad things. But you know what? If we, as Christians, don't start to let the transformation of God be a reality within us, how do we expect a full nation to take the right decisions? And how do we expect to draw confidence and strength from what is going on around us, in the world, or in society, or in education, or in the politicians? There is no stability in them. They are lost because they don't have the fear of God in them. But we, in the congregation, we need to promote these things and say, Lord, what does this mean for my life? How many of you want change in America? We need it here first. Amen? We need it here first. I receive a lot of letters and emails about what's going on, you know. Tony Perkins and the Christians in D.C., you know, and what the Christian congressmen and senators are thinking, and how should we be praying and asking the Lord for direction through this time. And yes, we see evil. We see violence. We see riots. We see things that are not right. We see also a lot of the deception. And the sad thing is that you don't really know what's going on until 2 or 3, 4, 5 weeks later, right? Sometimes it's even difficult to make an assessment of what's going on because we don't know, really. But you know, this was designated this Sunday as a national day of prayer in this place in America. And the next Sunday is to be praying for what's going on in America and also sanctity of life and all this. And I thought, Lord, what do you want us to do as a church? I mean, we want to pray that you change the hearts, that you change the government, that you change society, that you change education. And we're trying our part, but Lord, what do you want? And again, I was going back to this passage in Proverbs, and God was saying, don't be afraid. There is a strong confidence in the fear of the Lord. And there is hope in the fear of the Lord. And there is the ability to have the fountain of life in your life through fear of God. And there is also the ability to escape the snares of death only in the fear of God. I need that in my own life, you know. Because as I went through these verses throughout the week and the last week, 2, 3 weeks, I kept looking and I thought, Lord, there is just about 1,000 verses that speak about fearing you. Not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. Honor the King. Fear God. I mean, Peter speaks of it. You know, the way in which the Christian needs to be living is fearing God, because his confidence and strength comes directly from God. Now, as I look at all the news and everything that was coming, I thought, Lord, fear of you belongs to your people. And we are confused in some ways. We are challenged and we are tested and we are wondering, what are we going to do? Because we haven't been fearing you enough. And there is a risk. And let me say this with fear and trembling. There is a fear in the church of Christ, of God, that our fear is just the commandment of men. Jesus quoted Isaiah 29 twice in Mark and in Matthew. And when he was speaking to the Pharisees and scribes, he said to them, these people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips. They come and they give adoration and some worship, but they do it while their hearts are far from me. Why? Because their fear of me is only a commitment taught by man. In reality, a fear was not in their hearts. When we do things because everybody's doing them and because that's what we grew up doing, there's no fear. Fear has to be a reality in us. And so I look at this, and the fear of the Lord is for our own good. How many of you know this morning that the fear of God in your heart is for your own good? You know that? I know that you might be challenged by this morning. Let me tell you something. I'm going to invite you to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me tell you something. When I came to America in 1998, I didn't know much about America. You can make dollars here when you work, and they speak a different language than I did. But you know, as I realized that God was calling me to be here and I was going to be here, I started learning a lot from America. And a few years ago, although I was born in another country, I had the blessing to become a citizen in this nation. And if you know anything about that, when you are going to become a citizen, there are 150 questions that they're going to ask you about America. And if you fail five of them, you fail your citizenship test. So you have to study, okay, the Constitution and the laws and the history of America and how this nation came to be. But through my studies and the years that I've been here, I saw a blessing of God in this nation. How many of you know that America is really a blessed nation? Not because of the wisdom of people in themselves, not because of their strength or their valor or courage, because they are the nation of the brave. No. You know what I realized in my study? And I did a study for the Hispanic church a few years ago that I still remember a lot, in which I talked for about 2 hours of how, in a supernatural way, God blessed this nation. From the Constitution, from the government, from the way that the 13 colonies were formed, in the way to which they were extended, all the way to the Pacific, and the train, and the technology, and the industrial revolution, and everything that the Lord was doing in the world, it was just benefiting America more and more and more. And I mean, United States was able to buy all this land in a minute and consolidate all this land for its own blessing. And when I look at it, as I'm thinking and studying today, you know, the blessing of God on America is because of the fear of God in the foundation of this nation. One of the reasons why America is being blessed is because they were proclaiming the gospel of God, of Jesus Christ. Because they were looking at this continually. And in everything that they did, God was first. But you know, in the last decades, that has changed in many ways. And you know what God wants us to do when that is happening? To fear Him. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, God is talking to His people that is coming from Egypt, Israel, and He says, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land that He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord." Be careful. I mean, it's been a few hundred years that happened. And still today, by His grace, this is a blessed nation. But this is what God is saying to us. Take care, lest you forget where you were in the past. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God who you shall fear. How can I take care? How can I remember? How can I be thankful? How can I do the right thing? How can the time go by and I continue to be steadfast in the Lord? By fearing God continually. You should fear Him. Him you shall serve, and by His name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. And that's what is going on around us. Idolatry. All kinds of idols. How many of you know that when things go well, we tend to lower the guard? We tend to forget. We think everything is okay. I preach these verses to myself. I just don't preach them in the same way. When I read them, I say, when the Lord your God brings you to the United States, a land that you didn't deserve, And you see and leave those good cities that you did not build and those houses full of good things that you did not fill and cisterns that you did not dig and vineyards that you did not plant. And when you eat and you are prosper there, Samuel, take care that you know that you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Mexico. I preach this to myself. Because let me tell you when I came to this nation, I was in a lot of need in my life. And God has blessed me in many ways. But sometimes there is a tendency in me to think that everything is okay. God loves me. He's fine with me. You know, I can cut corners here and there. And all of a sudden, I'm far from the commandment of the Lord. So that's why God is talking to Israel. And He says to them, don't go after their gods because those gods don't bring security. The reality of everything that is going on around us is this. And whether we like it or not is that we have placed our hope, Americans have placed their hope in the idols of the nation. And sometimes these idols is money and government and complacency, you know, and entertainment and fun and everything else, sports and everything that is going on. But let me tell you, that is not a strong security of confidence. Are you aware of that today, this morning? Only God brings confidence. And so we need to start in the church because obviously society is lost. Look what God is telling the people of Israel here. He says in verse 15, for the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and He destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested Him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and His testimonies and His statutes which He has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers by thrusting out all your enemies from before. Thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies of the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. We are here by the power and the grace of God today. Amen. And we shall not take it for granted. We shall not take it for granted. We shall not blame. We shall not justify ourselves as Abraham did in Gerar and say, you know what? There's no fear of God in this place. So therefore, I'm going to lie and I'm going to do my own thing. No. We look at the circumstances around us and the sin of other people does not justify my sin. But the sin of other people make me fear God and say, Lord, guard me and protect me because we are living in evil times. We are living in difficult times. Again here in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, God says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments, the statutes of the Lord which I am commanding you today for your good. For your good. God is powerful and He has everything in His hands. He says in verse 14, behold, to the Lord your God belongs heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. God is in control of everything. Everything is His. And He's saying, fear me because I am in control of everything around you. If you fear me, it'll go well for you. But you know, God knew that He needed to put fear in His people. God is the one who puts His fear in us. Otherwise, we will not do it. You know, right here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says that the people of Israel saw the fire in the Sinai, in the mount, and they were afraid. They said to Moses, Moses, you go talk to God. Go talk to God because we don't want to die. Whatever the Lord tells you, we will do, but we don't want to be close to the mount because we don't want to die. And actually, God in verse 28 says, that He heard the words of the people of Israel. And He said, I have heard the words of these people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always to fear me and to keep all my commandments that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Oh, that they may have that ability and attitude and condition in their life to fear me so that it may go well with them. So the revelation of God brought them to fear. The manifestation of the power of God brought them to that level of fear in which they say, you know, we don't even need to see God anymore. We will do as He's telling us. What do we need then today? What do we need today to change what's going on? If we are able to, by any means. If that's the will of the Lord, because we don't really know what God is telling us or what He's doing here. Let me tell you, what we need in America is a demonstration of the power of God in such a way that we'd be fearing God again. Amen? A revival. We have a lot of religion. We have a lot of books. We have a lot of media. We have a lot of knowledge of God. But in some ways, it's just a commandment taught by man in our hearts. Not something that is coming directly from the Lord. So as I look at this, I thought, God, awaken us. Awaken your people. Strengthen us. And giving us the ability to see your glory and your majesty. Just like Isaiah did when you showed him that vision and he fell down and he said, I am a dead man because I am sinful. And God sent that angel to touch his lips. And then when God said, just a couple verses later, he says, who will go and proclaim to the nations? Isaiah was ready and he said, here I am, Lord, send me. Because the revelation of God brings us to fear Him, but also brings us to obedience. Amen. We realize our sinful condition. We stop blaming each other. We stop accusing everyone of our own, of wrongdoing and justifying our own sin. And we say, you know, Lord, it is my fault. I've lost the fear. I don't live with fear. I come to church without fear because I think I am in the grace, and in the grace I'm not supposed to have fear. No. Look at Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. It is actually the forgiveness of God that makes us realize we have a wonderful, awesome, powerful God that ought to be feared. Ought to be feared because He forgave me. I was a sinful creature, and in His mercy He has spared life to me, and now I am going to fear Him. And as we acknowledge our sinful condition and realize our forgiveness in Christ, we fear God who called us to life and rescued us from death. The fact that He has forgiven our sins doesn't make us complacent. Look in Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, it's not by works. But when you are in the faith, when you have been rescued, when you have been forgiven, you're still challenged to work your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. How are you working God's salvation in your life with fear and trembling? How is that looking like in your life? And are you aware that if you refuse to surrender to God and His commandments, there are plenty of warnings in the Bible about us going ahead and sinning deliberately because we think we are under the grace and God knows better. No, God knows better. He knows the intention of our hearts, even when we don't sometimes read it because we are confused. Look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. And this is, and as I look at these verses, let me tell you, it is a scary thing to preach this. Because it is a scary thing to live by this. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, Lord, why don't you just, maybe we should just go to Mark chapter 5, God. But you know, there is a responsibility. As we look at the things that are going on around us, we are called to beware. We are called to do what is right. God is saying here in Hebrews 10:26, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? Because you took the grace of God for granted. That's what he's saying right there. And it scares me. And it makes me wonder, Lord, am I doing that? And then he says, and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. God is going to judge his people. And we say this often, the judgment of God starts in his own house. Amen? We are the people of God. And then look what it says. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Do I pretend to understand every part of this passage? No, I don't. I can't. Sometimes I wonder. But let me tell you what. The Bible is clear is we should fear God. Because in the midst of a nation and a society and even a religion that is continually lowering the standards. Lowering the standards and saying, it's okay, it's okay, it's different time. You know, we don't have to live like the Puritans live in the 1700s. We don't have to live like people live in England. We don't have to live like the early church in the first and second century. And we're lowering the standards continually. What we need to do is pay attention because God is a fearful God. He is a fearful God. And this is what the Bible prophesies about the nation in which we live, as well as the whole world. People will go from bad to worse. You know, the Bible says, I wasn't planning on this, and we may, at the speed that I'm going here, we may be here for a few hours, but if you look at your notes, but look what the Bible says in Psalm 42, and you know, I just felt like going here, and I don't know why, but I want to, actually 46, and look what it says, if we are going to have life and strength, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams may glut the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. This is talking about Jerusalem, but it's actually also probably referring to His people. We will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms stutter. He utters His voice. The earth melts. But the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It doesn't matter the challenge that we have. If we are with God, our confidence is not stable because of how the world is living. Our confidence is strong because God is with us. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Where is our provision coming from? Where is our security coming from? Where is the strength of the law of the Lord? Is it in Washington? Is it in the government that we have? I mean, really? You think the change and transformation is going to come from the governments that we have? Whether the one that is leaving or the one that is coming? We ought to know better by now, right? And I'm saying this, you know, with acknowledgement that I want the blessing of God in this government. And I am praying for this government. And I am praying for President Trump. And I am praying for the president that is coming. Because that is the commandment of the Lord. So let me tell you, security is not coming from government. Security is not coming from money. Security is not coming from the vaccine that is coming to the households of everybody anymore. You know that? Let me tell you, if the Lord is not in it, if the Lord is not sustaining us, whatever we come up with in technology and medicine and modernity and everything else is going to fail. But if we are standing in the grace and in the fear of God, He will sustain us. I mean, when our children wake up one morning and they see this psalm right here, the nations raging and the world falling apart, where are they going to put their trust? Did we plant the hope of God in them because we were fearful to the Lord in front of them? When they saw us waking up in the morning, when they saw us kneeling in our knees, or did they see us putting our trust in the things of the world? Oh, we see the blessing of God. But we see the blessing of God only on a remnant that is fearing the Lord, a remnant that is trusting in Him, a remnant that escaped death by the blood of Jesus Christ. And not only that, they are having life in Jesus Christ. Life in Jesus Christ. See, the fear of God is not only essential to escape death, but it's essential for us to have life. Jesus is the life of this world. And He came and brought the truth, but also He brought the grace. And truth and grace were given to us. In John chapter 1, we saw His glory. The glory of the only one of God. And He showed the grace and also the truth to us. And we're able to live there. Yes, let me tell you what the fear of the Lord does sometimes. You know, We look at the truth and we say, Lord, how can I do this? How can I step up behind the pulpit and preach this weekend, Lord? When I know that I'm not there. I wish I was there, Lord. I wish I didn't struggle with things. But you know what? The fear of the Lord will make you go forward because of His grace. Even when you feel like you're not competent enough in your own strength. That's where the Word of God comes to us and just allows us. I wanna pray this morning. You know, we have a lot of notes here, but I want to read one passage here, and I'm going to do something that different that I did in the other services. But I want to invite you to Matthew chapter 10. And as we pray this morning for our nation and pray to receive communion, before that, I want to challenge you with this passage in regard to the fear of the Lord. It says here that Jesus, the author of life, who brought us truth and grace, He's teaching His disciples. And He's saying, I'm going to send you as sheep in the midst of wolves, and you're going to have a lot of opposition. You're going to be flogged, and you're going to be taken to court, and you're going to be dragged before governors, and it's going to be ugly. It's going to be really ugly for you if you follow Me. And I want to read this because this is our commandment, whether we are being persecuted or not, whether we are being challenged or not. Jesus says to them in verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? And remember, Jesus was crucified because He didn't agree with their theology. And eventually, He came to such a way that they end up killing Him and putting Him in the cross. But then look what He says. So have no fear of them. Have no fear of religion, of government, of society, of what's going on around you. Have no fear. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim in the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. What are we afraid of? Are we afraid of losing our freedom as a church? Let me tell you, the church is always going to have freedom. We may not have the building. Amen? We may not have the freedom to preach from a pulpit as we do and to gather here. But we will always have freedom in Christ. Always. Always. So have no fear of government or people or society or the new ideas that are coming on. Don't be afraid of what's going on. And then look what it says. But fear, rather fear Him. And that's God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Then He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges Me before men, I will also acknowledge before My Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, I will also deny before My Father who is in heaven. One thing resonates through this. You know, there is one thing only important. To know that we are fearing God and to know that He knows that we fear Him. That's it. We are going to live in fear of men and the circumstances or in fear of God. With conviction or just being swayed by everything going on around us. And we want to pray this morning and man, that the Lord will just reveal His presence to us this morning. I don't know where you are in your faith, in your strength with the Lord, in your marriage, in your family. I don't know. But may it be that today the Lord brings a new revelation of His power, a new manifestation of His power in your heart, in such a way that you leave this place studying the Scriptures and saying, Lord, do I need to fear You? And how does that look like in my life? And as we do that, that we may pray for this nation, not only for the nation, but that we pray for the church in the midst of it, that we become the light of the world and the salt of this earth. Amen? So let's pray. And let's pray today for our nation, for everything that is going on around us, that God will bring us to be confident. Confident in His commandments and convictions and in everything that He has for us. Lord, we worship You this morning. We thank You. We adore You, Lord. Lord, we want to grow in our knowledge of your power, your majesty, your strength. Yes, Lord, we want to do that. We want to experience you in such a way, Lord, that we would abhor sin, Lord. Detest, Lord, ungodliness. And fear, Lord, that you are with us at all times. Lord, we want to have that revelation in us in such a way, Lord, that we stand firm regardless of the circumstances all the time. Preaching, proclaiming, obeying, discipling, Lord, and trusting ourselves to you continually. Yes, Lord. Looking for opportunities to speak of you, to pray, Lord, for people, and also, Lord, to give you glory in everything that we do, Lord. Give us that heart and that mind. And Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our governments. We pray, Lord, for everything that is going on, Lord, not only in our nation, but actually in the whole world. We see, Lord, that many things are changing, Lord. And the values of society are changing. The values of family are changing, Lord. The values of life are changing. There is war and proclamations of war and violence, Lord. And people is doing as they are pleased, Lord, because there is no fear of God in them. Corruption is rampant, Lord. And many people is just following the desires of your heart. But Lord, we don't want to follow the ways of the world. We want to proclaim the truth and we want to continue to say what right is, Lord, according to your commandments in your mighty name. And Lord, I pray that you bring sense to the Christians, Lord, to the believers, Lord, to many of the conservatives that follow you, Lord, to obey you, to pray, to seek you, Lord, and to ask for revival rather than asking for protection. To ask, Lord, for a move of your Spirit rather than asking for stability, Lord, in this world. Lord, do your will. Establish your kingdom, Lord. We want your kingdom to be established in this place, Lord. It will not make any difference, Lord, if everything goes well, but your kingdom is not established. We need you, Lord. We ask for your grace on us, your strength and your direction as we continue. And Lord, allow us to be honest, to be sincere, Lord, and to apply these things in our very homes, Lord, in our very lives. We thank you, Lord, for this morning, for your word, and we pray, Lord, that you allow us to continue to grow in your fear, because this is pleasing to you, according to the scriptures, Lord. This is pleasing to you. Oh, Lord, allow us to grow in holiness, Lord, in the fear of the Lord, as your word says. Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. And now, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to partake communion, hear this. We also remember, Lord, that this is a very serious thing, Lord. And as we read here in Matthew chapter 10, those who confess you before men, you will confess before your Father and the angels in heaven. But those who deny you, you will also deny when they go, Lord, and present themselves before you in the day of judgment, Lord. We want to live as Christians, Lord. And as we partake communion, Lord, we realize how serious it is, Lord, to be partakers of this covenant. It's not lightly that we come to the table, Lord. And so we pray that you give us the right mind and heart and attitude, Lord. You paid it all. And yes, Lord, here we are following your commandments. Here we are, Lord, obeying you and trusting in you. And Lord, as we do this, heal us. Heal us, Lord. And bring transformation in our hearts, Lord. If we haven't forgiven somebody, Lord. If we haven't let go of resentment, Lord. Bring that power to us by your grace, Lord, today. And allow us to step in holiness. In your mighty name, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for everything you're doing in our midst. And now, Lord, here we are partaking of this. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.